Hello and welcome to the Personal Development School podcast. I'm your host, Thais Gibson, and I create regular podcast episodes to teach you about your relationships, attachment style, and the subconscious mind. My goal of this podcast is to give you tools and awareness you need to thrive in your relationships, feel deeply connected, and find harmony and fulfillment in your relationships and personal life. So I hope you tune in here with me each and every week. So what are the six most important things that are essentially non-negotiable when it comes to a dismissive avoidant attachment style becoming secure? I'm going to take you through those six major features, and we're going to highlight each one very specific to the dismissive avoidant. And you can think of this as essentially being your roadmap to becoming securely attached, or if you're the partner or loved one of a dismissive avoidant, all the major things that you need to know that they can hone in order to facilitate deep transformation and have thriving relationships again. The six major features, this is actually according to integrated attachment theory, which is a body of work I published and trademarked a few years ago that essentially overlaps traditional attachment theory with the subconscious mind, along with core wounds is point number one, understanding the relationship to needs as point number two, understanding how to emotionally regulate as point number three, learning one's boundaries, learning to communicate your needs and boundaries, and then updating coping mechanisms or unhealthy behaviors. So we're going to go through each of these major categories in these six key areas. The first one is for dismissive avoidance when they are struggling with their core wounds. So core wounds are essentially these ideas we acquire about ourselves when we don't know how to process a traumatic event or a painful experience. And an example of this would be if you're a dismissive avoidant and you grow up in an environment where you're neglected, and yet biologically you are wired for attunement and connection. And so you can't fathom as a young child, hey, my parents are emotionally unavailable. You can't understand that yet. And instead, what the childhood mind does is it personalizes everything. So what we'll see happen or unfold with the dismissive avoidant is that they'll tend to develop a core wound that says something's wrong with me, or I am defective because for some reason I can't seem to get my needs met. Right? And it's this subconscious idea that is formed. And so dismissive avoidance as a result of that have, it's the emotional attachment that comes out of that is shame. Like if I think something's wrong with me, I feel ashamed of myself. And that's part of the reason you'll see dismissive avoidance shut down, not want to be seen, not want to let people in, be more sensitive to criticism than they'll often let on, because it's all about this big shame wound they're carrying that I am defective or something is wrong with me. It's like, I am fundamentally flawed. And you'll see the manifestation of that too, by the way, as, you know, in relationships, this idea that like, oh, I'm not capable of doing relationships. Something's different about me. And it's like, oh, I'm too flawed to be able to have a healthy relationship. I'm not wired that way, right? So all of these ideas are pronged off of this one major core wound. Other core wounds dismissive avoidance tend to struggle with are, I am unsafe, because they're constantly in this sort of survival mode when they're not getting their needs met as children. It can really cause them to feel unsafe while in the company of others. Other major core wounds you'll see a lot of the time for dismissive avoidance are, I am trapped, right? The fear of being trapped or sort of stuck in something they can't get out of. I will be made to feel helpless. A lot of dismissive avoidants really don't like to have to rely on others because they're avoiding that helplessness core wound, fear of being powerless, and sort of this deep idea a lot of the time that they carry that I am not good enough. Like they can really struggle with that idea and sort of overcompensate for that in certain ways, or withdraw completely as a means to avoid feeling that way. Now, there are other core wounds dismissive avoidants can struggle with as well, but those are the major ones. And it doesn't take long to reprogram core wounds when you have specific subconscious reprogramming tools. You're not born with them. They get conditioned into you. And using the same principles, you can condition them out of your subconscious. The first major part is core wounds, like really understanding these core wounds and how to reprogram them. Number two is understanding needs. Now, a lot of the dismissive avoidant needs revolve, yes, around safety, comfort, autonomy, feeling free, feeling like they have their independence. But a lot of those needs are also because they don't know how to co-regulate with others. So other important needs that dismissive avoidants have from others, whether they're aware of it or not, is they want to feel understood. They want to feel respected. They want to feel acknowledged. They want to feel appreciated. They want to feel supported. And they really want to feel accepted, because it's sort of the emotional immunity to counteract that shame wound we were talking about earlier. So those are big needs. And when a dismissive avoidant learns to understand their needs and then empower those needs in relationship to self and request them from the relationships to others in a healthy way that's considerate of others' needs too, like the people they're in relationships with, and find that healthy compromise or middle ground, then they're able to really start that transformation process. So core wounds, needs, emotional regulation. This has a lot to do with, you know, certain tools, but also nervous system regulation and being able to really regulate your nervous system function. So you're out of that chronic, subtle fight or flight mode that causes you to feel, as a DA, more agitated, more irritable, you know, all the time. When you get into parasympathetic mode, rest and digest mode, and your nervous system is more regulated, your emotions are more regulated. You'll feel more calm, more open. You'll have a greater ability to be present instead of feeling so restless all the time. So you'll see a lot of these different dynamics play a huge role. I just wanted to pop in here and let you know we are doing a 7-day free trial to the All Access Membership Pass at PDS, which means you get access to literally everything inside of the school. That means you get access to the 4 live webinars I do every single week. You can come in, you can ask me questions with your camera on, we can chat. You can leave your camera off if you prefer, or type your questions in the chat. There's lots of opportunity to get your questions answered. And on top of that, you get access to all of our different courses. We have over 55 different courses on relationships, communication, boundaries, emotional mastery, guilt and shame, learning your needs, so many different facets that are really important to master our lives and feel really good about our lives going forward. And last but not least, there's also community elements in there. So there's a daily community event, whether it's practicing communication or doing a guided morning routine or a guided reprogramming exercise. We have trained facilitators and coaches who are in there doing that work, showing up to support you on your journey every single day. So I would love to see you on the other side. There's lots of exciting stuff in there. And we have had a 99.7% NPS score, which means we have literally that many people who report being really successful at PDS and wanting to recommend us to others. And it was all done anonymously. So I felt really honored that everybody shared that. So thank you to those of you who did. But yeah, please join me on the other side. Come check it out. See if it's a fit for you. I'd love to see you there. Number 4 is learning your boundaries. Now, believe it or not, dismissive avoidance seem to be great with their boundaries, but they tend to be good with large boundaries. Like, they almost use these big, intense boundaries to push people away because they don't know how to communicate and assert small boundaries while in the company of others. An example of this would be, let's say you're dating a DA, and let's say that they're not feeling very great. Their emotional bandwidth is kind of shrunken. They're feeling kind of in a bad mood. Instead of saying, hey, you know, our plans tonight, rather than going out for dinner, can we just stay in and like watch a movie? I'm not feeling like myself. Rather than being able to assert that boundary while in the company with somebody, they'll just set one big boundary by going, hey, I can't come over tonight. Sorry. And, you know, I'm canceling our date. Sorry. And so, you know, DAs have to learn to actually empower understanding their boundaries while in the company of others and learning to communicate openly. And this brings me to the next one, which is communication. There's very simple ways of learning. Once you understand your needs, if you understand your boundaries, just communicate with them. There's like a few little processes you can use to just really hack communication in a way that helps you to know how to de-escalate others when they are feeling distressed and help them downregulate, and also how to make sure that you're in a position where you can communicate that in a way that won't be taken personally while in the company of others. So you can be seen and heard and understood in a way that bypasses that personalization thing that tends to happen with a lot of people around more sensitive topics. And last but not least, we have improving our behavioral patterns or coping mechanisms. So when we tend to feel stressed, what do? We cope, right? And for a lot of DAs, it's like they cope through their creature comforts. They cope through numbing, avoiding, compartmentalizing, repressing, zoning out, tuning out. And so understanding what needs those coping mechanisms actually meet and coming up with healthier ways to get those needs met is a massive part of becoming secure. So if you're tuning out, right, you're dismissing somebody, realizing that that might represent a dysregulated emotional bandwidth. So you're like not feeling great and you're probably in sympathetic nervous system mode. And so you dismiss people because you're in this kind of irritable fight or flight mood and you take it out on others a little bit. indirectly through that coping mechanism. So realizing the root of what that symbolizes, oh, I'm in this very dismissing mood because I need to re-regulate. So instead, being able to say to somebody who's maybe trying to get your attention or communicate with you, hey, I'm not feeling like myself right now. I need, 10 minutes to myself just for now to re-regulate, and then I'll come back and try to be more present. And then actually carving out that space using tools that can help you intentionally re-regulate your nervous system at will, get you into parasympathetic nervous system mode or that resting mode or state that I was referring to earlier. And then being able to come back and feel better and be present. So understanding that coping mechanisms are ways of dealing with root problems that are often not so healthy, and understanding what those root problems are and coming up with healthier ways to cope solves the problem at its core and also empowers you as a person. So these are six of the most important things that you need to know to become securely attached. I would say they are literally non-negotiable. And there's other seasoned things in here, like in that the program I was talking about, like there's some shadow work stuff and some cool tools to like speed up the process. But these processes themselves don't take that long when you deeply understand them. Reprogramming core wounds doesn't take very long. Once you understand your needs and just practicing communication tools and understand your boundaries, you can go out into the world and use these things. And then we just have to do some refining on the behavioral coping mechanisms. So I hope this makes sense. I hope this was helpful for you if you're trying to understand like what it is that you have to focus in on and what that roadmap is. We have a course on each and every single one of these topics.